760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey, but truly, you bring that joy back to us tenfold. We are so thrilled to be with you. I'm Josh Harris, joined by Allison DeLulo and Alessandra.
Good morning.
Did I stick that landing for a...
Yes, and I think that Dave is around as well.
Is Dave around?
Dave is around.
There he is.
Dave.
He's hiding in the other room. It's good to hear from you, buddy.
I'm at the Buford studio.
You're at the Buford location. Nice.
All these locations we have, right?
There's no dress code. He's in a Snuggie right now. But,
I don't even want to imagine Dave in a Snuggie.
I'm just glad this is radio and not TV.
There you go.
I love it.
You got a wardrobe for radio, as they say. Well, Alice,
and a face.
Okay. You sure do, Dave.
Well, I know. He's got a good-looking face.
I know.
You sure do at the wrong time.
I'm not good with jokes. But Dave knows. Dave, you're awesome.
Yeah, she didn't mean to co-sign on that joke, America, I promise. Well, speaking, before we get too deep into things, Allison, do you have a prayer for us?
I sure do. Let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of this weekend, a time to rest, reflect, and rejoice in your goodness. Let your Spirit fill our hearts with the joy that only you can give, a joy not dependent on circumstances, but rooted in your love. As we spend time with family, friends, or in quiet solitude, help us to recognize your presence in the simple moments, renew our spirits, and guide us in the week ahead with hearts lifted by gratitude and peace. May we carry the joy of this weekend into every task and trial we face. Let us see your light in us. Let others see your light in us, and may our joy be a witness to your glory. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
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 Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
And by the way, I'm giving you guys an update on Pope Watch for his Instagram account that I've been...
That you have been watching nonstop.
I've been having my eyes glued on it, because earlier this week I saw a screenshot. They opened it and it was at 40,000. By the time I followed, it was 300,000. I looked later that day, it was, you know, over 1 million. I'm like, well, that's interesting. I've never seen a social media account like explode like this. I just checked. Okay. Keep in mind, same week.
10 million.
13.1 million, I think, last time I checked.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Yeah. Papa's cooking with gasoline over there, man.
So. And I'm so glad we have you to be tracking this so you can just inform us.
Well, it is cool to see. I mean, in this, like Dave talked about, I mean, I think there really is a pastoral and a fatherly attraction here, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's even like Dave said, there's people who are likely non-Catholics. I mean, I'm sure a lot of non-Catholics are following this guy. And I don't know. It just shows that I think that we have these truth detectors in our hearts and we realize, hey, there's something different about this kind of pastoral appointment, right?
Yeah.
A papal appointment, even if we don't know the whole history of the church.
No, absolutely. And I think even fallen away Catholics, because many, you know, non-Catholics are those that were Catholic at one time but fell away from the faith. So,
yeah, no,
well, absolutely.
And I've seen a lot of quotes online that I'm assuming they're all him, but they seem
are you
legit.
Sure, Dave?
No, I'm not 100%, but they're all good things. You know, it's like all things that, like, we as humans on a deep down level can get behind, you know, can believe in. So even if you're not a follower, even if you're not a, you know, faith-filled person, I think these are things he's saying that everybody can relate to on some level.
And I think we don't have enough time today, but on Monday, I want to unpack one of those entire stanzas with all of us in the studio, because it's really beautiful. And absolutely, to your point. And by the way, if you want a up-close and personal snapshot of Pope Leo XIV's humanity, check out our episode from yesterday where we interviewed one of his high school and college classmates. It's pretty awesome. And by the way, speaking of awesome, Allison and I I'm just thrilled. We're about to spend 12 hours in a car together.
I can't wait, Josh.
I'm getting paid overtime for every minute of it. No, it's going to be
you
wonderful.
You are terrible.
We're good buddies.
two, Two go in the car, only one returns. Yeah.
I'll be like, Dave, come get Josh. I'm just kidding, Josh.
We're driving to Jekyll Island. I think I figured it out. I'm going to take some chamomile tea and melatonin so I just pass out the entire time and Allison will be my chauffeur.
I am going to be the chauffeur, but you can be working on some tasks for the show.
In all seriousness, there is that maternal heroic endurance that Allison has. I think there is something that sneaks into your veins when you become a mom where you can just do these long road trips and somehow be unaffected by the crazy banter that's going on in the car. I mean, you've been the captain of a lot of those adventures.
I have. Yeah, definitely going to St. Augustine. Normally we go there every summer. So yeah, no, it's many conversations before the trip, during the trip, after the trip, on the way home. So
you're saying your kids aren't praying the rosary the whole time? Very reasonable decibel.
No. But no, it's a blessing to be a mom. Praise God for motherhood. It's a gift, even with the trials we face.
Yes, and you're a great mother. And by the way, just a little bit about this event we're going to. It's the 123rd Annual Georgia State Convention for the Knights of Columbus and Jekyll Island. And this year's theme emphasizes keeping God foremost in your life, taking care of your family, including your parish family, and sharing your joy and inviting others to join you.
Yeah, so I can't wait to meet all the knights. We have TJ come on and he does a great job. He's the grand deputy of the Knights of Columbus here in Georgia. So I cannot wait to meet all of the others.
Yeah, they have a litany of heroic servicemen there. And of course, the wives of a lot of the knives, wives of the knights will be there as well. And so, yeah, we should hopefully come back with a lot of really, really cool interviews and
connections
stories.
Absolutely. We can't wait.
It's going to be a blast. But for this incredible hour, we have some rock stars joining us. We got Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, and St. Joseph in Washington, Georgia, doing a very special unpacking of this Sunday's gospel, followed by our buddy Chuck Persner, helping us get acquainted with Pope St. Leo II. Remember our memory verse for the day, John 20:29. Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and still believe." Closing us out, the MSA Service Ambassadors at Heritage talk about how the Lord is working through them with the gift of service and spiritual growth in his vineyard. But opening us up, our dear buddy Tim Shevlin, parishioner of Our Lady of the Assumption and founder of FitCatholics.com, speaks about how we can keep our kids healthy during this summer.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. With Josh and Allison.
We are joined by Tim Shevlin, parishioner of Our Lady of the Assumption and founder of FitCatholics.com, talking about how we can keep our kids healthy during the summer. Glad to have you, buddy.
It's good to be back.
Is he pumped up? All right, let's see. Pump him back up. Let's hear.
Good to be back.
There. Now it's good to be
love
back.
It. And truly, Tim, when I think of the topic today, goodness gracious, seriously, school is going to be out next week. It's the last week of school for my kids. And it is always a free-for-all. So I am so happy to have you come on here and just answer some burning questions that we have regarding keeping our kids healthy and keeping our kids in shape during the summer. So what are some fun ways to keep kids physically active during the summer without it feeling like exercise? Because there are some kids that like exercise and there are some that don't. It's a chore to them.
Right. I think most kids like being active, but the idea of exercise is not necessarily a fun thing for most of them. So you have to know your child, and you have to know what their interests are, what they have fun with. My daughter, for example, she loves being able to run fast. But if I said, let's go, go run a mile, or you should run sprints every day or something like that, it's not going to happen. But if I say, I want to race today. You know, we're going to go out there and we're going to race, and I know I can beat you. And, make it somewhat competitive. I she probably can't beat me, but even if she could, I'm going to make it close.
Yeah.
So it keeps her interest, so she keeps trying to push.
Yeah.
You know, and that just depends on the kids. Some kids, you know, are, well, pretty much most kids are into swimming.
Yes.
That's probably a big, you know, good thing to do this
summer.
Going
to the pool, yes.
The pool, they're jumping around, they're being active. But you want to, you know your children and, you know, try to make whatever it is seem fun, seem competitive.
Yeah.
Not seem like exercise, you know, with, oh.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I got a monthly pass to Adventure Air Sports, the trampoline park in Kennesaw, because all of the kids can jump, and I even like jumping, too. So, and I love how you're including the parents, too, right?
Well,
get involved with your kids.
Yeah. The parents are going to be the most part. If you're as old as me or older, there was a commercial that it was an anti-drug commercial, and it was, you know, the kid had drugs, and the dad walks in and, you know, says, how did you learn about this? He said, I learned it from watching you.
Yes.
And it's the same thing, you know, how you live, your children are going to follow.
Yeah. Mm.
So you really want to try to get involved with, you know, you want to be active, number one.
Yes.
And that shows them the importance, you know, of doing it. And then, you know, same with praying. You know, if you're never going to pray, you can't tell your kids to pray.
Correct.
And expect them to do it. You know, but if it's something that's an important part of your life, they're going to learn that, and then they're going to make an important part of their life.
Amen.
Yeah, this is really so critical what you're sharing, because you're talking about, it's kind of that phrase, we are who we hang out with, right?
Yeah.
And so we don't just inherit, you know, traits or genes, but we inherit habits as well that
Absolutely.
We are around.
Oh, yes.
So am I, you know, if I'm a parent, I mean, am I modeling a healthy spiritual life for my kids? You know, there's a statistic, I think it's of children who go to mass as a kid, like if just the mom goes, it's a certain level of retention. I mean, they're likely to go back as an adult. Maybe it's, I don't know, 10%, 20%, 30%. But if the dad, like, is the initiator in going to mass, there is this, like, it's like explosively higher retention rate.
I've read the same thing.
Yeah,
and I don't know the exact statistic, but to your point, though, it's not just spiritual habits we inherit, right? I mean, people get older and they've been conditioned, especially maybe in the South, around certain dietary habits, soul food, comfort food, and then that's a harder thing to kick when they get older because it's something that they've, you know, that's just been part of their rhythm. So you're saying don't just focus on role modeling spiritual, being a spiritual role model, but being a health and nutritional role model as well. So are there any kinds of, you know, daily routines or schedules that can, you know, help in that journey of health and fitness for these kids?
I think you just said it. You need to have a routine and schedule. It doesn't matter what it is. I feel as though children thrive with schedule and routine.
Yeah.
You know, they're just learning how to live. So if things are always changing, they're not going to be doing great, you know, emotionally, mentally, whether you see that or not, they're not going to be great. If you have a schedule and these, you know, these things happen most every day and around the same time, you know, they're going to continue those habits. They're going to live that way.
Yeah.
I mean, but again, it depends on your schedule. It depends on, you know, what your child likes, what you like, what the family likes, you know.
Yeah.
I can't say that, you know, one schedule is the best, but a schedule and a routine is good.
Amen. And I need to nip that in the bud for the summer because it is. I mean, I'm very spontaneous. And yeah, my kids are not necessarily always happy when I'm like, okay, we're going to go do this now. They do. They definitely thrive on routine.
But it's not a pop quiz is what you're saying as well, right?
Right.
Hey, kids, guess what? Exercise. You're doing CrossFit today.
Right.
Give me 20 push-ups now.
It's at the top of the week, potentially. Okay, guys, you know, mark your schedules. We're going swimming on Tuesday. You know, Thursday or Friday, we're going to do flag football. I mean, whatever it is. And I love your thing, too. What you're talking about is kind of baking the exercise into things that they already like to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Or if they don't, word it a different way. Like you said,
right.
We're not going to go run sprints. And I'm laughing that you say that because I'm like, you know what? We're all going to go to the nearest track at the high school and we're going to walk the curves and we're going to sprint the straight part. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm doing it the wrong way because here I'm telling them what we're going to do.
But I mean, Allison's, you gave a perfect example, getting a membership to
yes.
the trampoline place.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
That is great exercise. That is great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, especially how nuts kids are going to go in a place like that.
And it's air conditioned, so when it's hot as can be outside, you know, we'll be in there jumping
around.
But
it's not going to feel like exercise when you're doing, like, you know, 10 somersault dunks on, they probably have, like, a basketball goal and stuff. Yeah,
they do. No, it's going to be fun. So, Tim, how can parents encourage healthy eating habits over the summer when routines are more relaxed? And I know you're talking about routine, but sometimes we're like, oh, you know, it's summertime. Let's kind of be a little bit lighter. So what can we do when it comes to nutritional pitfalls?
Well, and I think, you know, it being summer, you know, vacations and things like that, it should be a little lighter.
Yeah.
You know, it should be a little more relaxed. But at the same time, if you're ordering carryouts every night, you know, and you've got a cupboard full of potato chips and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to go well. So it's the same kind of thing. You know, plan accordingly, plan ahead, you know, get healthy food, you know, get fruits and vegetables, keep the refrigerator, and maybe you prep all that into little containers instead of, you know, going in the cupboard, opening a bag of chips, you go in the fridge and open a little container that's already got, you know, strawberries in it, something like that.
Yes.
You know, make it something that a kid's going to like, you know, that they're going to like to experience, you know, something fun, yogurt and strawberries or something like that.
Yeah.
But you've already kind of packaged it together. And then try to eat most of your meals, again, you know, a home-cooked meal or the closest you can get to that.
Yeah.
You know, if you go out a couple nights a week or order carryouts and get popcorn or whatever, you know, that's no big deal. But so long as most of the time it's that good, clean food, it's going to be, you know, you're going to get the results you want. And it's just, you know, planning ahead. You know, it's more relaxed, but try to plan 80% of what you eat over the weekend for the next week.
And we're going to have you come back because I have so many more questions I would love for you to answer, but we are bumping up to the end. So
thank you so much, Tim Shevlin, parishioner of Our Lady of Assumption and founder of FitCatholics.com.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Coming up at 4 this afternoon on AM 1160 The Quest, I invite you to join me for Beacon of Truth. Now let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:21. We are joined by Father Mark White, pastor of St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, reflecting on today's gospel reading.
Always great to join you.
Yes, so without further ado, I'll pass it on to the theologian and the scholar.
This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment, love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So yeah, this is a beautiful gospel. I think one of the it's a gospel though that we could kind of just do a flyby on and think we kind of get what Jesus is talking about, speaking about love here. But you know, there's something here that is a little bit deeper and richer than we might notice if we just kind of superficially go over this gospel, and that Jesus is not saying, you know, "I give you the commandment you've always had." You know, in fact, Jewish people would have understood from Leviticus, you know, love others and, you know, love others and love your neighbor as yourself. So, or love God and love your neighbor as yourself. The commandment that basically Jesus restates. And he's saying something different here though. He's giving us a new commandment. And he doesn't say it that way. He says, love one another. Yes. So he's saying that much, but then he says, as I have loved you.
That's a tall order, isn't
it? So you should also love one another. It is. That's a much deeper call, right? That he all of a sudden is presenting himself as the pattern of how we are to love as Christians. So a lot of times people will talk about the Lord as somebody who comes and kind of, you know, he's very merciful and he reaches out to everyone. So he kind of dumbs down the teaching from the Old Testament. But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus actually demonstrates this perfect love that we're called to, this really more supernatural, that it's not just, you know, loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself, but it's a new commandment that really requires the grace of God to love others as Jesus first loves us. And he loves us, you know, in our weakness. He loves us in our sin. As St. Paul writes in Romans, he loved us when, because of our sin, we behave as his enemies at times. And he still loves us. What's beautiful about what the Lord does is he restates the teaching that we've always had of, you know, love God and love your neighbor as yourself, that we get from the Jewish people, right? And he says the Ten Commandments are not going away. You still need to do that. That's the foundation. You need to get the vision of love that the church gives you, will the good of the other for the sake of the other. And what is love through the eyes of the church in Christ? But then go beyond that. And love in the way that I have loved you. In fact, even love with the very love that I love you. You are my body. So it's a very deep call. But even though it seems awe-inspiring, it comes with grace. You know, it comes with the sacraments. It comes with the Eucharist. We're not called to do this on our own. Jesus knows we can't love our enemies or forgive or do some of these outstanding things. You know, making huge sacrifices for people. You know, at the cost, in some cases, of even your own life, you know, the martyrs, or, you know, knowing that maybe a person will not return that love. He's saying, I just want you to allow me to love through you and to love as I have loved you. It's a higher calling, but a higher calling that's graced, that's filled with his very life to love that way. And not just this kind of base level, you know, do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Yes, that's a starting point. That's a foundation. But then now consider the way you've been loved by God and meditate on that and then love out of that. Mm-hmm. And then your love will be truly a perfecting power in your life, welling up to heaven.
Forever. Yeah. There's this quote or the scripture verse that was certainly embraced by St. Maximilian Kolbe, which, you know, there is no greater love than this than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Do you think that the apostles would have understood the magnitude and significance of this teaching before the resurrection of Jesus? I feel like it couldn't have really come full circle until after he rose from the dead, because then they would have said, oh, wait, true love, love like he loved us. He was on a cross for us. It's kind of really ups the ante a bit. What do you think, Father?
I think it's a great point. And, you know, we're in John 13 here. You know, Jesus actually says there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your brothers. He says that in John 15. Mm-hmm. So they would have heard that before the cross, but then it would have been demonstrated for them. But that's really kind of interesting because we're in the Easter season, and right now we're moving away from kind of the resurrection accounts and moving towards Pentecost and Ascension, where we associate all those graces coming out from the Lord on high, where these teachings are applied. And, you know, he said to his apostles, he said, I will send you the Spirit of truth, will lead you into all truth. So I think you're right. They would have reflected on the love demonstrated for them. And they also would have received the grace to be able to love that way. And then they would have been able to reflect back on everything Jesus said and did. And in saying and doing all those things, you know, they would have been able to know by reflecting on them contemplatively, wow, this is what he was talking about. Yeah. You know, he rose from the dead, but then he just didn't leave us. He gave us his Spirit. He gave us his life. And then he calls us to basically be, you know, have his life recapitulated through ours as his body. So, you know, then you see them loving their enemies. You see them being confronted and being horrible things to them in Acts, and they don't respond with hatred. They tell the truth, but they respond in love and forgiveness, just like the Lord. So we are supposed to be that same kind of witness.
Yeah.
And we're not left as orphans, you know, as Jesus says in this same context, I will give you the Spirit. So that you can actually love that way, you know, and so you're not doing it alone. It's not just this daunting thing. Well, I can't love like that. Well, you can't, but by God's grace, you can begin to love like that.
That's a huge encouragement.
It is. I think it is. It's in pilgrimage, the time of hope, the season of hope of this being the Jubilee year. You know, I think the hope of being able to love more, that is what, you know, overcomes all our sins. And it's what gives us the hope of heaven, too, that there's a place of that perfect love where, you know, all the ills of the world that are caused by not loving are erased.
You articulated so poetically when we get discouraged, so I can't love like that. Well, you can't. But luckily, God gives you the catalyst and the comforter, the counselor. And I think a lot of times we also can get tripped up and intimidated when we say, well, how am I supposed to lay down my life? But we forget that often it's small steps. It's small sacrifices. You know, recently I was leaving my mom's place and there were some dishes that needed to be unloaded and loaded. And I could have initially thought, well, no, I got to get to church to pray and then go to mass. And, you know, would it take me a few minutes to just take care of that? What are those small sacrifices that we can make to really authenticate the message, the gospel message in our lives, and be doers of the word, not just hearers?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I think also the testimony in those moments of asking for the grace, there are beautiful stories like Corrie Ten Boom, who was, you know, her sister was killed in the Holocaust camp, where they had been hiding Jews. They were Christians. And later she would come to meet one of her persecutors, a Nazi guard who did horrible things, and he asked for her forgiveness, and she couldn't do it in that moment. So she prayed a prayer, and then she was filled with the grace to be able to forgive him and love him, at least in that moment, because it was supernatural, and she asked for it. She said, Lord, I can't do this, but you give me the grace. And she put her hand out, and then her heart changed towards this man. And that, to me, is a good example too, in the small things, you know, like what you just experienced, you know, doing the dishes. We ask for the grace because it's like, you know, maybe you feel like you're not getting the help you need, or it's the same old thing, or whatever it is. And you have to forgive your spouse. You have to forgive your kids. You got to ask for the ability to do that, because we can't assume that the little things are always easy, because it happens day after day.
Amen.
So we want to stay close to Jesus.
Thank you so much. Absolutely. Father Mark White, such a powerful word. We're so grateful for you.
Glad to do it.
From the Catholic News Agency, the confirmation of Brian Birch, President Donald Trump's nominee for U.S. Ambassador to the Holy See, was blocked by Senate Democrats. Birch is the co-founder of the political advocacy group Catholic Vote, and now he must get 60 votes in the Senate, a 3/5 majority, after Democratic senators invoked the filibuster. Catholic Missouri Republican Senator Eric Schmidt criticized the Democrats' move, saying in a statement that it is in detriment of Catholic Americans across the nation and will leave the United States without a diplomatic presence in the Vatican for Pope Leo's inaugural Mass this Sunday. And talking about Pope Leo's inaugural Mass, both Vice Presidents J.D. Vance and Secretary of State Marco Rubio will attend the celebration of the first American-born Pope. The Mass is scheduled for 10 a.m. Rome time, 4 a.m. here in Atlanta, and will mark the beginning of Pope Leo's pontificate. Last April 20th, Easter Sunday, J.D. Vance and his family were at the Vatican and met Pope Francis the day before the pontiff's death. When Pope Francis was elected in 2013, the United States delegation to his inaugural Mass was also led by the vice president at the time, former President Joe Biden.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey
with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks. You know, as Catholics, we have a lot to be excited about these days, don't we?
There's certainly a lot to celebrate as we find ourselves in the middle of May, the month of our Blessed Mother. And for that reason alone, it's cause for celebration.
Yes.
It's already been a great month for saints as we've celebrated a pair of apostles and Saints Philip and James, another apostle just 2 days ago, and Saint Matthias, who, yep, as you recall, replaced Judas Iscariot.
Yeah.
Damian of Molokai was celebrated this month, John of Avila, just to name a few. And lest anyone think May is going to go out quietly with regard to saints, we still have Saint Rita of Kasha, yes, on the 22nd. I understand we have a special surprise.
We sure do.
For St. Rita, and I can't wait to hear that. That,
yes,
should be very good. We still have St. Philip Neri, a personal favorite of mine, and really all of ours here at The Quest. Again, the patron saint of joy and humor. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what the show is all about, you know, the Morning,
yes,
Quest.
Yes, it sure is.
And tomorrow, we will talk about St. John the First. You know, we've had 23 popes choose the name John, so you know, the first one has got a good story behind him, mm-hmm, right? And he goes way back, and you'll be very impressed by this man. I think he's a very holy man, a martyr, in fact. But on the topic of popes, of course, Pope Leo the 14th is really first and foremost on everybody's mind these days. I think it's safe to say there's a lot of excitement in the air.
Oh, yes.
Hope, I think.
Yes.
What are your early impressions, Allison? What do you think?
It was an amazing experience. I was sharing on the show in the past that I've never experienced watching a pope, you know, the smoke coming out and a, yeah, pope, you know, coming out on...
on the balcony.
Yeah. He looked like he was going to cry. He looked like he was getting a little bit choked up there. So
yeah.
I'm,
yeah,
really excited.
And it's interesting, too, you know, coworkers were coming up to me and say, hey, there's white smoke, like people in the secular, yeah, world who really wouldn't otherwise, you wouldn't think they'd care about this stuff. They,
yeah,
don't go to church or what have you. I'm working on that, by the way, with all of them. But, you know,
well, and for them to come to you, Chuck, I mean, what a witness you are if they already know you're Catholic. There you go.
I don't hide it at the workplace. I can promise you that.
I, yeah, love it. Holy reminders. You are a reminder of the Catholic Church.
Yeah. You know, I'm just optimistic. You know, I'm always optimistic about the future of the Catholic Church. I think sometimes that makes me a contrarian because there's so much doom and gloom out there, and there shouldn't be. You know, we're, as followers of Christ, we are the victors, plain and simple.
Amen.
And, we're on the winning side, as I like to say.
You know? Sure are.
You and I were both athletes. I know you were a great athlete when you were younger, and I'm sure, like me, you always wanted to be on the winning side, right?
Yes.
And that's a big thing.
Worked hard.
To a competitive athlete.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, we are on the winning side with Jesus, and it's not even close.
I know. Amen.
You know? So our job is to pray for Pope Leo the 14th. Hope, and don't worry.
Amen.
As St. Padre Pio likes
pray
to say.
Pray for,
right,
us, yeah.
But I was excited to hear our new pope take the name Leo. It took me by surprise a little bit, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, I would never guess he would have chose that. I was thinking maybe we would get Pope John the 24th or Benedict the 17th, mm-hmm, Pius the 13th.
Yeah.
How about that? You know, but maybe he would take his own name, an original name, like Pope Francis did, and be a first, you know. But realizing that there are only 13 popes prior to our new pope choosing the name Leo, and I shouldn't say only, that's quite a few.
Yes.
It naturally got me to wondering, how many of them are saints?
Ah.
So I went going to do some research. And we know right off the bat, of course, the first man to choose the name Leo, Pope Leo the Great, is a saint. And as his fellow pope, Pope Benedict the 16th, once said of him, he was one of the most consequential popes in the history of our church. And we did a feature on him on November 11th, which is his feast day. And this was a man who wrote the Tome of Leo, which brilliantly fleshes out the incarnation and the idea of Jesus being fully human and fully divine.
Yes.
You know, one of the great mysteries of our faith. And, you know, the Tome of Leo is still a very relevant document, one that people still refer to. Of course, he famously took on Attila the Hun during his papacy as well. But with regard to the other canonized Leos, I did find out that there are three others.
Oh.
And it's very easy to remember them because they go sequentially. We have Leo the Second, Leo the Third, and Pope Leo the Fourth. They have all been canonized.
Oh, wow.
No others. Yeah. Not yet, anyway. I know Leo the 13th has been in the news lately, and I'm glad about that. I think it's shedding some light on his papacy and allows us to revisit it. You know, a papacy that concluded some 120 years ago. And I thought it was coincidental, ironic, whatever you want to call it. But during your interview with George Rigel, which is very good, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He's a smart man. It was it was great. So informative.
Yeah, I would encourage all the listeners to go back because he shows, I don't know if our listeners know this, they're archived on the app.
They
on the
sure
app.
Are.
I would go back and listen
or
to that.
Or on the website, yeah, the podcasts.
But when you asked Mr. Rigel about Pope Francis's legacy, his response was noteworthy, I thought. He said, you know, we still haven't figured out the legacy of Pope Leo the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
It's still very much up for discussion. And his point, of course, and I'm paraphrasing, that was how he answered it. And his point is that these things take time. But wouldn't you know it, after referencing Pope Leo the 13th, 2 or 3 days later,
divine,
we get Pope Leo the 14th.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I bet that was, call it a divine coincidence or something,
right?
So anyway, let's talk about St. Pope Leo II. And according to the Book of Pontiffs, Liber Pontificalis, as it's called, Leo was, and I quote, a man of great eloquence, competently versed in Holy Scripture, proficient in Greek and Latin, and distinguished for his chanting and his psalmody, which is the singing of the Psalms. He was elected Pope December of 681 to succeed St. Pope Agatho, but was not consecrated until August 17, 682, because of delay in confirmation by the Byzantine Emperor Constantine IV. So politics did jump in there and play a role. He received the Acts of the Sixth Ecumenical Council, sections of which he had translated from Greek to Latin. And here we see his ability to do that come into play so that they could be understood in the Western churches. He ratified the council's decision to condemn monotheism, the heresy maintaining that Christ had two natures but only one will, fully human, fully divine. And in this respect, you see that he followed in the footsteps of his namesake predecessor, St. Leo the Great, because a good portion of his papacy was spent fighting the Arian heresy during the mid-400s. Leo II condemned the conciliatory policies of Pope Honorius I because Honorius had not directly denounced monotheism. Leo called him one who, and I quote, by unholy betrayal, tried to overthrow the Immaculate Faith.
Oh, my gosh.
So here we see some controversy, as we do in time over the years.
Yeah.
During his pontificate, the See of Ravenna, having in 666 been freed from the Pope's jurisdiction by the Byzantine Emperor Constance II, was again made papally dependent by order of Constantine. And then music. I know, Allison, you had were very interested in the fact that he had quite a background in music, a love for music, really.
Yeah, so Pope St. Leo is the patron saint of those who promote peace and good relations with others, as well, as you were saying, has also encouraged music in the church and was known for his skills as a singer. For any singers out there, anybody that is in choir, a great saint to call in their session.
Absolutely. And I know they probably are already calling on St. Cecilia. She is the patron saint of musicians. But here we have another man here in St. Leo II.
Absolutely.
Who was said to have been quite a good singer in his own right.
Mm-hmm.
And again, his focus on the Psalms. All of this happening in the early, I consider this the early days of our church anyway, the 600s. Yeah. And he was a great influence in that regard, too.
Well, you know what's interesting, Chuck? St. Leo II was buried in the Church of St. Peter in Rome. He died on June 28, 683, and was initially buried in his own monument. Later, his remains were moved to a tomb that contained the first four Pope Leos.
All of whom achieved sainthood. Isn't that something?
Yes.
I want to be buried in that tomb. Maybe I can become a saint. You know? And what a great place to visit if you're on your way to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to stop by that monument in St. Peter's.
Yes.
And pay your respects and seek the intercession of these four great Leos.
Mm-hmm.
Leo the Lion, right? It's another great reference to that name.
Yes.
Let's hope this Pope is a lion, you know, for the faith and that he fights hard for it. I firmly believe he will. So Pope St. Leo II.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest. Your Atlanta Catholic Radio. Back to the Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey. With Josh and Allison.
It is 8:46.
We've got J.J. Fuchko, Olivia Schatzel, and Charlie Crone, and they are currently ministry and service ambassadors at Heritage. And I was on a retreat at Heritage about 3 weeks ago, and it was amazing because these guys are there serving all of those people attending retreats there and just being a light of Christ. So I am so happy to have them on talking about their work as ambassadors at Heritage. So welcome to The Quest, you guys.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
We are so glad that y'all are here, and I just would love to know, what is the Ministry and Service Ambassador Program at Heritage?
Yeah, of course. So it's a pretty new thing. I can safely say we're the only three people who are Ministry and Service Ambassadors in the world.
Yes.
Which is fun to be three out of 8 billion. So Ministry and Service Ambassadors are missionaries who live on property at Heritage in Sharon, Georgia, which is the site of the first permanent Catholic settlement in Georgia, dating back to 1790. So we live there to assist people who come out in finding time in silence to connect and reconnect with the Lord, to pray and find Christ again in their lives, especially being probably the quietest place within 2 hours of Atlanta.
Absolutely, it is quiet.
And we're just kind of half hotel workers and half missionaries, kind of bringing those two things together to make sure people have a lovely say every time they come out to visit us.
Mm-hmm. No, it is beautiful. What is the faith formation aspect of the program outside of all of those that you're just getting to help and serve?
Yeah, so I guess the foundation of our faith formation program is we help out at the church. The third location of the earliest Catholic settlement in Georgia is in town in Sharon.
Purification?
Yes. 4 or 5 minute drive from the retreat center. And so Wednesdays and Sundays we have mass there, and we'll like do sacristy work, read and that kind of thing, lecturing. And then we have personal faith formation for the three of us pretty much every Monday, mm-hmm. most Mondays. One of the local priests will come to the retreat center and he'll do talks on like the liturgical calendar and the history of certain devotions in the church.
Yeah.
There's a deacon and his wife in town who do faith formation on discernment of spirits with us. Our new MSA coordinator, Kathy, who's very connected here, has done various stuff with us. And we've done Catholic book studies and kind of various things.
And that's so neat too, because you're growing in your faith, but you're also serving and learning how to serve and help others mm-hmm. as well. Were you going to say something, JJ?
Exactly. And Allison, you touched on something so important with just the fact that everything we're doing is happening in the vicinity of these retreats from just these wonderful Catholic personalities mm-hmm. and people who are truly trying to be on the way to sainthood. So you'll see me very often sitting in the back with my notebook, and I'm keeping an eye on the water and coffee, but I'm also listening, and some of the stuff may not be as applicable. I now know how to be a good Catholic woman serving Christ, not helpful to me specifically.
Yeah.
But there's lots of people who come out to Heritage with a passion to share their faith journey and what they've learned about the faith.
I'm sure.
We get to participate in that.
And it's such a beautiful property too, just holy ground. So it's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you're absorbing all this rich spiritual content. How has it impacted your own prayer life?
I can say for myself, scripture's become more of a prominent thing in my prayer life and just sort of in my mind of like, I need to read scripture more and learn more about how to read scripture, how to see the world through a scriptural view.
How about you, Olivia? How has your prayer life grown while being an ambassador at Heritage?
Well, I've disconnected from social media since being here, which was a really big thing because I love my phone.
And how long have you been there?
Oh, going on 9 months now.
Look at that. Beautiful.
Yep. Wow, 9 months off the socials. That's
impressive.
I wouldn't
say completely off, but definitely less than what I was before coming out here.
Yeah.
So not having that attachment anymore has like given me more time to just stay in the quiet. And we have the chapel like a 5 minute walk away mm-hmm. from our houses, just having that so close. And then I've been reading more spiritual books, praying more, just having that quiet, I think is the biggest thing.
It is so quiet. When I was there for my retreat, just walking around and hearing the birds and just being still and not having to worry about the hustle and bustle of life. It is just an amazing place just to go and get away on beautiful grounds. And again, the chapel and even in the little library, all those books, you guys, it's a wealth of information and a wealth of materials that you can be diving into, which I'm sure you guys do. So what do you all love about Heritage the most?
I mean, definitely the quiet is a big part of it, and kind of that's what gives you the urge to draw away from social media. We live in an age of noise right now, mm-hmm. and I think Blaise Pascal said the downfall of society today is that men no longer know how to be bored alone in their rooms, and just you come out and everything's so quiet, and it makes me think of Hosea. God says, I will allure her and draw her out into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her heart. There's a quiet that you need to have to be able to hear God speaking to your heart.
Yeah.
Because that's the last place the world wants you to look. And just the quiet and also 200 acres of trees and flowers and birds doesn't
Yes, hurt. Yes. How about you all?
I would say, honestly, just the beauty of the place, the natural beauty, like the landscapers have done an amazing job, but then just like the beauty of the prayer spaces is incredible. And it helps for me, who can get very distracted in prayer, to have something to like focus my mind on.
How about you, Olivia?
I love the people I work with. Coming out here and being the only girl MSA, I was really nervous about living and working with two other guys.
Yeah.
And these two have been amazing. They're Aww. I mean, we have our quote-unquote girl talk every once in a while. And then even everyone else that we work with, they're always so kind and understanding and very proactive if we need help with anything. And I've never worked within such a Catholic environment, so getting to like talk about my faith and act out my faith while I'm working is so special.
It is. I mean, that is unique. I mean, and I feel blessed too to be working here because I can talk about my faith and share with everybody. So I think you guys have the same exact situation. Mm-hmm. People are there trying to find God, being quiet, you know, wonderful Catholic retreats. So you guys can just soak it all in. And it was beautiful too when I was there going to the cemetery of those that came from Maryland, those that are buried there. You could just totally feel the Holy Spirit just with you. So you guys are blessed to be in that environment. How has it been living there? Do you guys enjoy living in the area?
Yeah.
Most definitely. It's, I remember talking to my mom on the phone. I was like, did you know people at the post office aren't actually mean? It's like they're actually really nice sometimes. I think that's just a metro Atlanta area thing. And there's something you'd think it would be bad, but actually very good about if you want to drive to the grocery store or a restaurant, you've got to drive 30 minutes. This is not about convenience, because convenience has never been one of the best things about life.
Yeah.
And it's good actually being a little bit removed. We were talking about, I don't really eat fast food anymore because it's not that fast when you've got to drive 30 minutes to it.
It's all gross and soggy by the time you get home.
You're like, we only eat the real deal.
Yeah, I guess I'll just cook myself a nice chicken and rice and pasta dinner with a side of vegetables.
Wow. So if people want to get more information about Heritage or about your ministry, the Ministry and Service Ambassadors at Heritage, where can they go?
So you just want to go to heritagega.org. That's just the word heritage, G-A, all one word, lowercase.org. And that has information on everything from booking a retreat to the church schedule. And we're actually one of the Jubilee sites for the year of Jubilee. There's graces and indulgences associated with coming out. And there's information on the Ministry and Service Ambassador Program. And a quick plug, anyone 21 to 26, we're actually looking for applicants for the next round, the second round of Ministry and Service Ambassadors for fall 2025.
Well, thank you so much, JJ, Olivia, and Charlie for sharing this beautiful ministry that you all have at Heritage. We are so grateful for your time.
Thanks so much for having us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
It is 8:55, and again, that those wonderful ambassadors over for the mission, this Ministry and Service Ambassadors at Heritage. Again, if you have a child, a grandchild, anyone that is 21 to 26 years old who would like to spend a year living in community, growing in faith while serving the Lord in a beautiful setting, definitely go to the Heritage website, and they are looking for more ambassadors. And also, we've got a lot of good stuff coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm. Remember, tonight at the Cathedral of Christ the King in Atlanta, they have the concert Peach Tree to the Ancient Isles tonight, May 16th. It starts at 7 o'clock. So enjoy some Celtic classics, great European works, and traditional American fare at this special preview concert at the Cathedral Choirs for their upcoming tour in Ireland. So that's going to be great. Also, don't forget the Fatima Tour for Peace, where the Pilgrim Virgin statue will be touring select parishes here in the Archdiocese. That starts tomorrow, May the 17th, and the kickoff parish is going to be at St. Monica. The actual statue is going to arrive at 8 a.m., and that is St. Monica's in Buford in Duluth, Georgia. And on Sunday, we have the Sensory Mass at St. Bridget's in Johns Creek. That is going to be taking place on May the 18th, again, Sunday at 1 o'clock. So a lot of great stuff coming
for
up.
For people with sensory sensitivities.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, even my nephew has gluten allergies, too. So just, I wonder if they have gluten. They probably do have gluten-free.
Oh, well, they should. Hosts. They should be able to accommodate that at most masses. Now, I see some people bring their own host to be consecrated in certain instances, but yeah, that should be an easy accommodation typically.
No, but there's a lot of great stuff coming up, so definitely go out there and grow in your faith this weekend, as
always.
Absolutely.
A lot of wonderful experiences around town. Check those out at the Quest Atlanta calendar on our website, thequestatlanta.com. And we love you guys. We'll miss you. But it's going to be okay because Allison and I have a dandy 12 hours in the car together.
Well, it is. I think it's 6 hours up and 6 hours back.
As I said, 12 hours.
I know you're looking forward to it, Josh.
It's going
to
be great, actually. You are a lot of fun, and you laugh easily. But I'll probably get some new material.
You can work on me.
You're a great audience member. If only every audience was as kind as you, Allison.
Aw, it's genuine.
Yeah, I'd be a millionaire. well, we are so grateful for all of y'all, and we look forward to hanging out with you on Monday. But until then, let's stay prayed up. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you have find joy in the journey.